TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Report, October 2018. Only 12 years left to save ourselves. How did the media in the UK cover this report? The IPCC, representing 195 countries, met in South Korea to discuss and then release to the public the IPCC special report on the impacts of global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. In the preceding TUC radio program, you heard examples from the very limited media coverage in the U.S. In this program, you will hear excerpts from the extensive coverage in the U.K., produced by the news departments at Sky News, the BBC, Channel 4, and ITV. They also paid attention to Donald Trump and his climate advisors. Here first is Sky News.
A stark warning today from a major new report on climate change, which calls for an unprecedented plan to cap global warming. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says at the current rate, the world will pass the dangerous mark of 1.5 degrees within just 12 years. And the UK's Energy Minister, Claire Perry, says there's now no excuse and the report should act as a rallying cry for governments around the world to avert catastrophic climate change. Sky's Lorna Shellick reports.
It's been a year of weather extremes, from wildfires in California to flooding in China. Closer to home, we shivered through the beast from the east, then sweated through a summer heatwave. Now the UN says it's only going to get worse unless we manage to limit global temperature rises to below 1.5 degrees Celsius.
Limiting warming to 1.5 degrees is not impossible, but will require unprecedented transitions in all aspects of society. There are clear benefits to keep warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius compared to 2 degrees or higher.
These are just one thing we'd lose if average temperatures go above 1.5 degrees, says the report, but there are many more consequences. Mountains would lose their glaciers and rivers vanish, leaving the Indian subcontinent fighting for survival. A single degree temperature increase could get rid of fresh water for a third of the planet within 85 years. Mountainous regions are at greater risk of landslides as the permafrost, which held them together for thousands of years, melts away. And low-lying countries like the Maldives would get submerged as sea levels rise. Countries already hit by hurricanes, meanwhile, face ever greater storms. Some of this is already happening. But if we almost halve emissions in the next 12 years and use much more renewable energy, the UN says we can still just about change course.
The message is over to governments at this stage. We've told you the scientific facts, the evidence, the costs. It is up to the governments now to decide what to do with it.
Back in 2015, governments did come together in Paris to act, agreeing to limit temperature rises to well below 2 degrees. But since then, one of the world's biggest polluters has changed tack.
It is time to exit the Paris Accord.
That makes the report's targets even more ambitious. But it also warns there's no time left for debate. This is the moment to decide, or the planet will decide for us. Lorna Shaddick, Sky News.
Well, let's find out a little bit more that's been in the report, the IPCC report, and talk to our correspondent Matt McGrath, who's in South Korea. Matt, can you just broadly outline for us the warnings and some of the questions that are raised in that report?
Sure, yes. The report was commissioned 3 years ago, just after the Paris Climate Agreement was signed, which said the world should aim to limit temperature rises this century to 2 degrees or try to keep them down to 1.5 as well. There wasn't a great deal of science about 1.5 degrees, so the UN commissioned this report, and basically they presented today after three years of research. And the conclusions that come out of that are pretty stark. It says that if the world wants to keep temperatures to 1.5, it's going to require a massive investment. It's going to require big changes for all of us in our lifestyle. And it's going to require all the things that you've been mentioning there, such as cutting emissions by half in the next 12 years, going to renewables completely by 2050, wiping out coal as a power source by the middle of the century, and the employment of a whole range of technologies to remove carbon from the atmosphere. So it's, there's no one simple fix here. The scientists say it's going to require everything, but they say the benefits are massive. If we keep temperatures to 1.5 as opposed to 2 degrees, it's going to be an incredibly much more livable planet than it will be if we allow temperatures to go to 2.
Can you give us some of the examples of what would improve if the world and global emissions were cut, or the temperatures were cut to 1.5 degrees centigrade as opposed to 2?
Yeah, there's the report goes to great lengths to talk about these type of things. So they talk about things like coral reefs. They say that at 2 degrees, we're going to lose all of them in the world, 100% of them, pretty much. If we keep temperatures to 1.5, we'll keep about 20% of them. Not great, but better than nothing. Similarly with flooding, sea level rise, they talk about a 10 centimeter difference between 1.5 and 2 degrees. You mightn't think that's very much, but it's enough to keep 10 million people from being exposed to the dangers of rising seas. And it goes on and on. It talks about food, the impacts on crops, the impacts on fishing, the impacts across the board, where staying to 1.5 means a planet that's livable for humans and plants and species. A planet at 2 degrees is a lot more tricky for everyone. We lose a lot of those species and a lot more people are put in peril.
Matt McGraw in South Korea, thank you very much.
The world's top climate scientists say dramatic changes need to be made quickly to our lifestyles to avoid catastrophic climate change in the future. They say we should give up meat, throw less away, drive electric cars, walk more, fly less. And governments must make major policy changes now to reduce the impact of rising global temperatures. Just 1.5 degrees of warming by the end of the century will mean rapid and unprecedented changes to all aspects of society. 2 degrees warmer will mean millions of people losing their homes because of flooding as sea levels rise. But the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says the world is currently on track for much worse. A rise of 3 degrees rather than 1.5 degrees from pre-industrial levels by the end of the century. Our science editor David Shookman is in South Korea, where the report was revealed.
The warming of the Earth is heading for levels that modern humans have never experienced. That's the unnerving implication of this latest report. It says the rise of the oceans could accelerate, even with what sounds like a small increase in temperature. Heat waves are set to become more intense sooner than expected. And forest fires, combined with more warming, will have a profound impact on wildlife.
The report clearly shows.
When the report was unveiled at a press conference here in South Korea, it came with a startling conclusion.
You heard coverage of the IPCC special report on the impact of global warming by the BBC and Sky News. Next up is Hans Otto Pertnet, co-chair of the Working Group 2 at the IPCC.
If action is not taken, it will take the planet into an unprecedented climate future if we compare it to what has happened during all of human evolutionary history.
The report says massive cuts are needed in the gases warming the atmosphere. That means turning away from fossil fuels like oil, because when they're burned, they give off carbon dioxide. Vast new forests must also be planted to soak up the gas, to have any chance of keeping global warming to a safe level.
The report has sent a very clear message that if we don't act now and have substantial reductions in carbon dioxide emissions over the next decade, we are really making it very challenging to impossible to keep warming below 1.5 degrees.
The report spells out that greenhouse gases must fall by 45% by 2030, just over a decade away. It says that up until 2035, it'll cost 2.5% of global GDP. That's the total value of goods and services around the world. Not cheap, but the scientists say it will help. And renewable energy, they say, must produce 85% of our electricity by 2050.
The obvious question that arises from the radical suggestions in this report is any of this remotely feasible? So many countries depend on coal, the dirtiest of the fossil fuels, and have plans to use more of it. And the vast majority of vehicles on the roads use petrol and diesel. On the other hand, there are some significant developments underway. The cost of renewable energy, like solar and wind, is falling, making it much more viable. And electric cars are set to become more mainstream, as the major car manufacturers invest in them. But however this plays out, making a change on this scale is going to be a huge challenge.
The key decisions on this now pass to the countries that are the biggest polluters, like China and the United States. But the report also says the people going about their everyday lives have a say as well.
And here's Channel 4 News.
Now, it's been described by the scientists who wrote it as a clarion bell, a report warning the world that unprecedented and immediate change is needed to prevent a climate catastrophe. A report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for the United Nations says we need to act without delay to prevent the destruction of coral reefs and stop sea levels rising by as much as 10 centimetres. If that happened, large parts of the world could become uninhabitable. Siobhan Kennedy explains.
It's a simple fact. Cutting meat from your diet even once a week will help reduce global warming.
There is no doubt about it. What we are doing, how we are eating, is screwing the planet.
In fact, the impact is so profound that Paul Brown changed his company's entire business model to go vegan.
The stats are clear. It's better for our health and it's better for the planet. 18% of all global emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, come as a consequence of animal agriculture. For context, only 13% comes from transportation. 45% of all the landmass on the earth is currently being used for animal agriculture. Every second, there's deforestation happening to the size of a football pitch to feed the livestock.
In part, it's these alarming statistics that have led scientists to conclude that only rapid, far-reaching and unprecedented changes to all aspects of our lives will be enough to limit the worst effects of climate change.
The scientists behind today's report agree that eating less meat is one of the individual actions we can take to help limit global warming. But it's a daunting task to roughly halve the amount of greenhouse gases globally within the next 12 years or face, they say, disastrous and possibly irreversible climate change.
Many believe we've already started to see just that with this year's widespread fires and extreme flooding. But the warning is disastrous events like these could become commonplace. The world is now 1 degree hotter than pre-industrial temperatures. At the Paris Climate Change Conference in 2015, a plan was agreed to limit the rise in temperatures to 1.5 degrees. But today's report warns that the world is already on track to overshoot that target. And if nothing changes, will be 3 degrees hotter by the end of the century. At that point, the majority of the world's coral reefs will be wiped out. Arctic summer ice will be critically reduced, exposing the sea to hotter temperatures, while polar region ice sheets will continue to melt, drastically raising sea levels and forcing millions from their homes. And much of the Amazon, the world's largest forest and CO2 absorber, would die off from drought. That's the worst-case scenario, yes, but we're already headed in that direction, which is why scientists say it's critical that global temperatures rise no more than 1.5 degrees above that pre-industrial average.
We are only actually shaving off the worst impacts of climate change if we manage to keep temperature to 1.5. So the onus is right now, I think, increasingly on governments.
Ms. Figueres brokered the Paris climate deal, which set a tone of optimism. The problem is the government, or the man, Donald Trump, running one of the world's biggest polluting countries, America, says he'll pull out of the Paris Accord. And despite efforts, the levels of global greenhouse gases, from coal-fired power stations to polluting transport to deforestation, continue to rise. The same old conclusions, then, that actions to curb the increases and stick to the limits must happen faster.
You have said that you'll end sales of petrol and diesel cars by 2040, but the Committee on Climate Change said be braver, bring that forward. Is that possible after this report today?
Well, it's possible, but one of the big topics of debate tomorrow with our European partners will be just that. And, of course, we are very much in the vanguard of that ambition. Other countries who, like us, have big car-making industries are less ambitious. So I think, for me, the real challenge is taking that UK ambition and stiffening the resolve of our European partners.
If you had Donald Trump in front of you right now, What one fact or one sentence would you say to him to make him change his mind on withdrawing the US from Paris?
I would say that investing in low carbon delivers jobs.
Would he buy that?
Well, it's delivered over 400,000 jobs in the UK. And by the way, they're in places that have been left behind by the Industrial Revolution. So I'd say to him, you don't want to be promising people a job digging up the last few tons of coal ever burnt in the United States. You want to be investing in the technology leadership that the United States has shown in the future. I'd love the chance to put that argument to him.
I hope you get it. Claire Perry, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to the extensive coverage that the release of the IPCC report in October 2018 received in the UK. Here's ITV News at 10, followed by ITV science editor Tom Clark.
It is best to put this tonight in the stark and simple terms used by the scientists who produced today's devastating UN-backed report on global climate change. We have just 12 years to save the planet. Yes, you heard that right. 12 years to halt the seemingly inexorable slide towards global catastrophe. What needs to be done is to limit the rise in the world's temperature since the Industrial Revolution to just 1.5 degrees, not 2, as previously thought. It might not sound all that much, but if we can't do this, if we don't radically change our ways, both individually and socially, the scientists say the consequences do not bear thinking about.
We're all familiar with the images of a changing climate, and for a long time they've been seen as postcards from the future, dramatic events that will happen if we don't intervene. But today's landmark report tells a different story. Climate change is happening now, and we have to act now to keep warming below 1.5 degrees.
It is scary stuff, to be honest. According to the latest report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we have now probably reached 1 degree of global warming compared to pre-industrial times, which they take as 1850 to 1900. The land is warmed by more than the sea and will go on doing so. Average temperatures are thought to be rising 0.2 degrees a decade. Can we stop the overall rise at 1.5 degrees? It is geophysically possible, they say, but would require huge reductions in carbon fuel use between now and 2050. Unprecedented ones. Even if we limit the rise to 1.5 degrees, sea level rises by maybe half a metre, plus or minus a quarter of a metre. Is the world geared up to tackle this kind of global problem? We'll be looking at the politics and policy aspects soon. First, though, here is Chris Cook on what the scientists are saying.
Some of the official predictions made about climate change sound biblical in scale. More drought, more famine, more flooding, more of the most powerful tropical cyclones, and of course, the seas rising. A familiar litany. And one they say we need to do more to fight. Something that will need rapid, far-reaching and unprecedented changes in all aspects of society. Our current no-action path is like this, rising carbon emissions. And that would take us to a more than 4 degree rise by 2100. But there is policy in place that should restrain carbon growth onto this path. That probably means about a 3 degree rise. And if countries make good on some of their promises, it should be a touch lower than that. Scientists, though, have been hoping for this path, which would mean about a 2 degree rise. Now, though, they say we should aim for under 1.5 degrees.
Now, that half a degree change may not sound like much, but scientists think it could radically reduce the harm done to our world by climate change. The thing is, though, to get there, we have to reduce our net carbon emissions to zero by the year 2050. And that means huge changes to the way that we live, to how we get around, to how we generate electricity, to how we arrange our cities, to what we wear, even to what we eat.
You can see why zero emissions is so radical if you look at carbon emissions in historical context. Hitting zero by 2050 would need a very sudden shift in direction.
It's about making the Chinese leadership, the Indian leadership, many of the African leaders decide to move away from coal. And unfortunately, that's quite expensive for these countries. And the real issue is whether and who is prepared to pay the substantive costs of a fast switch out of this most pernicious form of fossil fuels.
Now, individual countries make their own climate plans. Getting them to follow through, though, is hard. For one thing, getting to 1.5 degrees would mean investing 2.5% of the world economy every year from now until 2035 into energy infrastructure. According to Bloomberg, that's a sevenfold increase. 2.5% of our economy would be about £50 billion, more than we spend on defence.
We cannot hold to the current standard of living and really radically decarbonise. This has cost to us. We are, to be blunt, living beyond our means, and no politician wants to tell us that.
The fact of climate change is no longer in dispute. How we respond to it, however, is a political challenge that will only become more acute in the coming decades. And the price tag is rising.
Chris Cook reporting. So, is it possible to get the planet to align around the latest science? In a moment, we'll talk to Simon Beard, who studies existential risk at Cambridge University, and to Baroness Worthington, who's drafted the UK's Climate Change Act 10 years ago. But are the chances of a global response weakened when the leader of the world's second largest polluter is sceptical? In the US, polls show that Americans' views on climate change are increasingly polarised. Republicans and independent voters are increasingly likely to think the seriousness of global warming is exaggerated, whereas Democrats are more worried about it than before. So let's try to peek into the mindset of the administration there. I'm joined now from Washington by Myron Ebell, who was Donald Trump's environmental advisor during the presidential transition period before the inauguration. He's director of the CIA think tank that campaigns on behalf of the US energy industry and deemed the Paris Climate Agreement an unprecedented power grab on America's consumers and economy. Very good evening to you, Mr. Ebell. Do you think this report, this latest one, will change the administration's view on climate change at all?
No, I don't. I think the United States is divided, as you said. I think some states like California and New York and some of the New England states are pursuing the European Union plan to make energy more expensive. But I think President Trump and the heartland states that elected him are on a very different, very pro-energy path.
Yeah. I mean, is the problem here that effectively belief in the United States has just gone completely political? That it's almost identity politics. To show you're a proper hard Republican, you just adhere to the view that climate change is a global plot, that the UN is trying to take over the US. I mean, is that what's really going on here?
From my perspective, it's become identity politics for the left to claim that there's an imminent crisis. The problem with this report is it foreshortens the problem. The rate of warming, according to the data, is much slower than the models used by the IPCC. They also don't consider the fact that we've already had 1 degree of warming.
Let me interrupt you because I think what you're trying to do is to sort of show that you know more about the science than the scientists, which is sort of not the case because they're the scientists. What you have to do is show, not that you're cleverer than the scientists, and there were a lot of them involved in this, but that the scientists have somehow been taken over by a plot or have been infected by corruption or payments or politics. Now, have you any evidence that the science, I don't want to hear your argument that the science is wrong because you don't know anything about it, but have you any evidence that the science has been corrupted in some way?
The United Nations, when it created the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, charged it with supporting the climate agenda of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. It's meant to be a promotional body. It's not meant to be an objective scientific advisor. That if you go back and look from day one, it has been a promoter, not a neutral scientific
body. Let me pick you up on that. So do you think the scientists who've reviewed these 6,000 papers to produce this latest publication, 86 lead writers, do you literally think they don't believe what they have said? Is that your contention?
They're climate campaigners first at the highest level rather than objective scientists.
But you're a climate campaigner more than they are. They're not even paid, these guys. You're paid. I mean, they're not paid. It's absolutely Go on.
Look, we've had, the study says that we've had about 1 degree of warming already. They don't consider the tremendous benefits that have flowed to
humanity. Again, you're trying to show you know more about the science than the scientists, and you don't. So I come back to, do you, because I'm fascinated in this sort of personally, as to denial as a sort of human phenomenon. Do you ever think there may be a small chance that the scientists have simply done the work, straightforwardly looked at their results, published their results in an open-minded and unbiased way, and presented their conclusions? Because really, you're just saying either you know more or that they are somehow lying to us about what they really have found or what they believe.
I've investigated the claims, and I find them wanting from multiple viewpoints. One of them is that what they are proposing needs to be done will have much more deleterious effects on the planet and on humanity than the problem that they have identified. I have also tried to show you that the problem is in slow motion compared to what they're claiming it is. And I believe that they're claiming it's an imminent crisis because that's their charge from the United Nations
can
at
you
the
imagine,
highest level.
But I mean, okay, so you're saying they've been instructed to say what they're saying. Can you imagine anything that the scientists could say that would persuade the administration that it needs to take this more seriously?
No, I can't. I think that the administration and the American people are pretty convinced that a pro-energy agenda is much more viable and will have much better results than an energy rationing agenda.
Myron Ebel, thanks very much for joining us. Thank you very much.
That was an interview on BBC Newsnight with Myron Ebel from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He was environmental advisor to Donald Trump during his campaign for president. Many thanks to the BBC, Channel 4 News, and ITV for excerpts from their October 8, 2018 coverage of the IPCC special report on the impacts of global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, representing 195 countries, had met in South Korea to discuss and then release to the public the report that gave us 12 years to take action to prevent the most dire consequences of climate change. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look for the newest programs page. There you can also subscribe to weekly free podcasts. TUC Radio takes its name from an aeronautical term. Time of useful consciousness is the time between the beginning of oxygen deficiency and the loss of consciousness, the brief moment in which a pilot may save the plane. My name is Maria Glodden. Thank you for listening.